over things that we disagree with. And here's an example of a disagreement that I wanted to focus on. But I wanted to talk about this disagreement that's going on in the world. And even sadder than that, the disagreements that are going on in the Lord's church, that is very sad. We had mentioned the pandemic and how much havoc that has caused in the Lord's church over the different decisions that have been made on this pandemic and how bad it's been. But you know, disagreements are natural. Disagreements, everyone disagrees at some point. You have a relationship, in maybe in a marriage relationship, maybe you disagree every once in a while. But we all are individuals. We all think different ways. And I think that's by the grace of God that He has made us all different, all individuals, and we all have different thoughts, and He's brought us together, and we're going to have disagreements, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. So, I was thinking, if you don't disagree, if you don't have any disagreements, there might be a little something wrong there. Because what is a disagreement? It's just a difference of opinion. And we all have our opinion. So, but in 1 Corinthians, in verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. And as Paul's speaking, he's talking about the main thing. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's talking about the Bible. Things that are in the Bible, the Word of God, that we all agree on that the Bible is the truth. And that's what we need to agree on. But Russ has brought up disputable matters. These are things that are not in the Bible. And take the pandemic, for instance. What do we do when something like happens? Pandemic's not in the Bible. What do you do? How do you make those decisions? And not everybody's going to agree with that. You know, canceling Sunday night service. Maybe you disagree with that. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing. There's nothing wrong at all. I remember when we did small groups, and someone made mention that, you know, this causes controversies in churches. You know, the cliques might stir up, and, you know, we really need to meet together. And it's still going on now that some people disagree with small groups. If we're going to meet, we ought to meet together and not in small groups. That might be an issue. I remember, you know, we were talking about having a yard sale here, and we had some people that wanted the yard sale, some people that didn't want the yard sale. Yard sales are not in the Bible. You know, it was just an opinion, and we came up with what was going on. It's okay to disagree in church. It's okay. We come from different cultures, different backgrounds, different economics, and we're brought together by Christ and His blood. But we're all so different. How in the world are we going to agree on everything? But you know, we agree on Christ Jesus is our Savior. That's what we agree on. But we're getting ready to have a meal. I didn't know about that. I would have brought my famous meatballs. No, just kidding. But we are. But there are some people that disagree with eating in a church building. I mean, there are disagreements on all kinds of stuff that are not covered in the Bible at all. But disagreements are just, you know, it's just like anger. Disagreements are part of life. You're going to get angry as well. But in Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't sin. You can be angry and not sin. Don't sin. You can disagree, but don't sin. It all depends on what you do with that disagreement. Because when you disagree, if you let resentment sneak in, it causes all kind of problems, doesn't it? Have you ever gotten resentful? I mean, how does that affect your ministry, your personal ministry? How does that affect it? How do you want to spread the love when you're resentful in your heart? I can't. I mean, it just doesn't seem right to me. It's hard to speak the gospel of love with resentment in your heart. You know, if you look at the The top 10 causes for division in the church, it's pride. Pride is number one. That is the problem, is our pride. I have an opinion. My opinion's right. And I think that's what we ought to do, and I disagree with you, and they get angry. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." And doesn't that solve it all? I mean, that is the answer to it all. Okay, we can do it your way. You know, both people can't have it their way when it comes to disagreeing. You have to agree to disagree, but you have to make a decision on what you're going to do. And here in the church, in the Lord's church, we have an eldership. And if the eldership of the church makes decisions on some disputable matters, such as when we have service, do we have Bible study before worship or worship, then as members of the church, we submit to the eldership. If you're having trouble with a decision that they have made, you should talk to them. We should always be available. The elders ought to always be available to you. If you still can't accept the decision, you need to check your ego and pray. Because Christ wants unity and not division. And division under unscriptural issues is a terrible thing. It's sad. We've talked about it before. Carpet, whatever. So do you stay in the church? Stir up trouble? You know, is that what you're going to do? Are you going to leave the church and end relationships because of this resentment? Or are you going to humble yourself? Because he is coming back. We are one day closer, Chuck, and we will be judged on what we take a stand on. Do we take a stand on God's word, or do we take a stand on our opinion? There's a wrong way to split, and there's a right way to split. And I want to look at this split. Because this was a big split. And look at the right way to split. And just take a look at that. Look at the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. This is not a small disagreement. This is a big disagreement. Excuse me for a minute. And if you look at chapter 12 in Acts, starting in Acts 12, or Acts 13 actually, and you look at the headlines, it's Barnabas and Saul sent off. And if you flip through, Paul and Barnabas in Antioch and Pisidia, and then you flip through again and says Paul and Barnabas in Iconium, Paul and Barnabas in Lystra, Paul stoned in Lystra, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch in Syria, and then they end up in Jerusalem, and just looking at that, this was a dynamic duo. They were a tight team that worked together for the Lord. And they went through a whole lot together. And then we had this split. So let's look at this disagreement. And I want to start off with the disagreement over John Mark and who John Mark was. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, says, when this dawned on him, this is Peter, the angel led him out of jail and had the house of believers that were praying for him, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So this is John Mark. He's brought up in a believer's house. His mom was a believer, doesn't speak of his father. But his mother was a believer, and it's a house in which the church got together in. And this is when, in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, says, "When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark." And then in chapter 13, verse 5, says, when they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. It says John was with them as their helper. So they had taken John Mark along with them, and they were working together. This is three men that were working for the Lord and doing wonderful works. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail for Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem." And this is what Paul has the problem with, that John left and returned to Jerusalem. But Barnabas and Paul, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. So John Mark left them, and Paul and Barnabas continued after they had left. So Paul and Barnabas, they continued, and they did this mission work, and they were praising God, and it all came down to Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 40, which I just read, in which Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul said, "He's not going with me." And they got in this huge argument over it, and they ended up splitting. And this huge split, everyone had to process. You know, I'll try to put myself in John Mark's shoes, and Silas's shoes, and these two great men of the church are going to split, and they're going to not continue their ministry together. And how disturbing that would have been for them just to be arguing. But they did go separate ways. So I ask you, I mean, who do you think was wrong? Are you familiar with the story? But I was like, okay, this just isn't right. I mean, a split anywhere just is not right. What is wrong here? You know, who could be wrong? And then I looked at it. So I ask you, who do you think was wrong in this situation? We look at the three men's perspectives, and I want to ask you, can you relate to any one of them? And if so, which one? Maybe you can relate to all three of them at some point in your life, being at different times in your life. But let's start off with Paul. And I look at Paul, and we all know that Paul has got plenty of zeal. Paul, maybe you think he's harsh. I mean, he does not mix words. He speaks the truth. He has love in his heart, but he speaks the truth. Some of his stuff is very hard, and people have trouble dealing with it. But he doesn't play around. Paul's serious. And I just think Paul is like, you know, you burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. You burn me once, I'm going ahead. So I looked at Luke, I looked at Jesus, and I looked at Luke 9, verses 57 through 62, and it says, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to them, 'I'll follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.' He said to another man, 'Follow me,' but he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my Father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' And still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' And Jesus replied, 'No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God.'" And I think that's the decision Paul made. You know, Jesus gave Paul a mission to do, and Paul was completely focused on that mission. He had no time for wishy-washy co-laborers. Jesus has given us, each one of us, a mission that we need to focus on. And if people disagree, then that's the way it's got to be. Because Jesus has got to come first. You can't be concerned. You have to be concerned with the relationship with your Lord, with your personal relationship with Him, and not let others affect that. You have to put Him first. And Paul wasn't worried about that, was he? He made a decision, and he stuck with it. There again, Barnabas made a decision, and he stuck with that too. So maybe we look at Barnabas. We look at him, maybe he's a softie, you know? Maybe it's because they're cousins. You know, it's family that he's going to give him another break. But if we look at Acts chapter 4, who Barnabas is, you look at Acts 4, verses 36 through 37, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This man had a true heart for the Lord. He gave all the money to him. And it was not for show. He really was a true believer. But listen to this. Listen to this. This is Barnabas. When he, that's Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. So Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fiercely in the name of Jesus. See, Barnabas stood up for Paul when no one else would. And that's who Barnabas is. He's loyal. He'll stand up for you when no one else will. And when John Mark wanted to go with him again, he wanted to give him another chance. So I ask you, was Barnabas wrong for giving him another chance? We need to be Barnabas. We need to be Paul. I love Barnabas. I need Barnabas in my life. God sends people into our lives to encourage us when we need it. So we looked at those two. You've got one that's hard, one seems soft, they disagree. But let's look at John Mark. I mean, he had faith to leave home and go with Paul and Barnabas. He assisted them on the journey. He had a servant's heart. But he left them and he went back to Jerusalem. And he was wrong. He was wrong to leave them. Paul had every right to not trust him again. But let me ask you this. Can you imagine walking with Paul as John Mark did? If we read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul talks about everything that he's endured. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. So, I mean, if you are going to roll with Paul, it's going to be tough. Because Paul's tough. I mean, that's not an excuse for him leaving them, but I think it's a pretty good reason. Because we often fail before we succeed. That was a setback. We learn from our failures. We regroup, and I think that's what he did when he went back home. He regrouped and got ready for the next opportunity. And here comes the next opportunity. We have spiritual highs, spiritual lows. We fail and let people down. We grow in our faith as we fail. As we fail and we get back up, we grow. You know, we stand up for Jesus and then we let him down. But the faith of John Mark and that he wanted to go out again says a lot about him. He got rejected by Paul and still wanted to go with Barnabas to work for the Lord. Paul taught John Mark that he needed to be fully committed, and it was a hard lesson for him to take. And we each have had some hard lessons. And because we don't give up, we learn from them, and we know that we needed them. They're very uncomfortable when we're being taught. Some of the lessons we learn are hard lessons. John Mark learned a hard lesson, but I think he learned from it. He learned from it. And Paul and John Mark, Paul didn't give up on John Mark altogether. And John Mark made his way back. In 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, "Only Luke is with me, Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. So they did get back together. You know, he wrote for Peter. He wrote the Gospel of Mark. So there were benefits of the split. You know, we don't know what's going on here we're talking about. We don't know if the doors are going to be shut or, but, you know, I get to thinking about, you know, Romans 8. All things work for the good of the Lord. You look at this split right here and what happened. You know, Silas joined Paul and Paul discipled Silas along with many others. You know, Timothy and Titus. Barnabas encouraged the disciple John Mark to do the work of his ministry the Lord had laid out for him to do. John Mark loved the Lord and grew to become a powerful influence in the kingdom. So he went from a failure to doing some really good work in the kingdom of the Lord. Because he got back up, because he persevered, because he took the opportunity that was afforded to him to be with Barnabas. So they did it the right way, I believe. I think Paul had every reason. He was focused on the Lord, focused on his personal mission the Lord had given him. And he went on. And Barnabas, he stuck by John Mark and worked with him. And then John Mark, for taking the second chance, even when Paul rejected him, to continue. You know, we're all going to be in that situation where we fail and we're... And that Satan is going to mess with us and tell us, you're not good enough. You messed up. No, you're out. That's it. But that's not the truth. You know, God has got more work for each of us to do. And not to give up. Because John Mark could have given up and said, I'm not going back out. But he didn't. So each man stood firm in their beliefs. And what God wanted them to do, and they parted ways. The thing about their parting was their hearts. You know, we talk about division in the church. If we divide in the church, if there's a division, it better be on God's word. And we've heard of stories, you know, where the eldership, half the eldership, you know, says, well, baptism isn't essential. Okay, you have to stand on God's word, and there has to be a division there. You can't stay. But this is for the right reason for all of them. And God used it. They loved the Lord. Yes, they parted company. But their heart was right. And they did what God wanted them to do. So make sure. We've got to make sure God's plan for us is our priority. You know, don't let men or somebody else change what God has laid before you. If we look at Russ and what he plans on doing, he truly believes that the Lord is pushing him in this direction, and he's doing it. Now, nobody wants to see him go, and he knows that, and he doesn't want to separate from us. But he's doing it because he feels that God has called him to do that. So he's making a tough decision to leave us and go to South Carolina. That's a split. That's okay. Nobody wanted to see Paul and Barnabas split. We don't want to split from Russ. But that's just, it is what it is. But we each have that work that God has given us as individuals that we have to do. And we have to stay focused on it. And sometimes maybe you don't know exactly what God wants for you to do. But he wants all of us to have our own. He has a plan for all of us. And where he wants us to be. And there's nothing wrong with splitting. It's your heart. And it's what you split over. Is it your opinion you split over? I pray for those that have split over their opinion. They're going to face judgment on that. And we need to take that very seriously, don't we? What are we, do we divide over our opinion? That would be a terrible, we know stories and it's a sad thing. But we have to make sure that we take a stand on God's word and not our opinion. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's what God wanted me to share with you. And parting company is hard to do. But God's will for each one of us is where our joy is. And resentment has no place in our hearts. So, if anybody needs prayers, you can come forward after this song or during this song, and Wesley will pray for you. It is good to be with you. Thank you.